This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. It is the 15th anniversary birthday of Behind the Black. Bob has focused these many years on the commercial success of commercial space. We do look, however, now and again, working with big space or the U.S. government. And Bob's bringing our attention to an item in which we are going to learn how the Air Force and private space are working, commercial space are working together. 15 years of focusing on this hybrid that's been created, at least since 2010. Bob, his subscriptions and donations are most welcome. Thank you very much. We go to 700 nautical miles below Hawaii, south of Hawaii, in what was a marine preservation site called the Heritage Marine National Monument, established first by George Bush right at the end of his administration in 2009, expanded by Barack Obama, where exotic birds gathered and they were protected by the U.S. government. Now there's a proposal. Bob, a very good evening to you. The birds live there, and space needs it, or at least could use it. How so? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. This is called Johnstone Atoll, and it's been in the federal government. It's been in U.S. territory since last century, actually. It's controlled by the U.S. In most of the last century, it was used for military purposes, especially during World War II. But it's been used for a variety of things, including nuclear test work as well. Although they didn't actually blow anything up there, they used it for a variety of purposes under that notice. In 2009, Bush, followed by Obama, made this a bird sanctuary, a wildlife sanctuary. I'm not so sure there's that much wildlife there, but they did it because it felt good. Recently, the Air Force has issued a contract to SpaceX to do research and possibly test flights of using Starship Super Heavy to do point-to-point cargo delivery on Earth. In other words, use Starship to move large military equipment from one point to another on the Earth for military purposes. And they were thinking, and they were doing an environmental impact statement on the idea of possibly landing Starship on Johnston Atoll. But this week, the military said they've abandoned that idea. They're not going to send any rockets to land on Johnston Atoll. And the news articles implied that there was this Pacific Islands Heritage Coalition, which had launched a petition that got more than 3,000 signatures opposing this action, and the article implied that it was the opposition of these environmentalists. The island's uninhabited, so none of the opposition here is coming from local residents, and there's no harm that's going to come to any local residents if a spaceship lands there. In fact, it might even bring some habitation to the island's people. I don't think that's the reason the Air Force finally abandoned the idea. I think they abandoned it because it's really remote and there's no infrastructure, really, and it would be expensive to set it up. If it's good, they're doing point-to-point, they might as well land someplace that's more practical, and they can do that. And so I think that's why they abandoned this. But either way, they're not going to land rockets on this atoll. The birds will be at peace.
ULA, one more time. What is ULA? What is the Vulcan?
United Launch Alliance, ULA, is a partnership of Boeing and Lockheed Martin of their rocket divisions. And it has right now it has two rockets, the Atlas V, which it's eventually going to retire as it uses up its inventory, and the Vulcan rocket, which is a new rocket to replace the Atlas V. Vulcan's launched twice. It had some problems. It had a problem on its second launch, though it did get the payload into its proper orbit. A nozzle fell off on one of its strap-on boosters. Not something you want happening. That was last year, and it's been now almost a nine-month delay, and they have not launched another Vulcan. The military, after a lot of research and checking into the nozzle, ULA finally thinks they have it fixed. And so the military certified Vulcan for using on commercial launches. Finally, in the last week or so, ULA has begun stacking a Vulcan rocket for a launch. And this would be a launch for the National Security Office. military, and they're beginning to stack it. So we might finally see a third Vulcan launch if this happens. It does imply that we're going to start to see a string of quick launches of both Atlas V's and Vulcan rockets over the rest of this year. The company had promised a lot of launches, and they've gotten almost none off this year, and they really need to catch up.
Bob, what's the revenue for ULA? Government?
ULA has mostly... For decades, has mostly been making its money off of government launches because it wasn't interested in lowering the cost of launch. And so the government pays whatever it needs, and that's the end of it. SpaceX came along and has kind of forced it to compete, but it has because their rockets are more expensive. They really can't compete on the commercial market very much. So most of their launches are military. They have contracts with Amazon to launch a lot of Kuiper satellites, a lot of launches there. And that has to do with politics. Amazon didn't want to sign with SpaceX. It's a competitor, even though SpaceX does have some contracts to launch Kuiper. So ULA got that contract, so that's about the only commercial contract it has.
Is ULA developing reusable?
They said from the beginning that Vulcan would eventually be upgraded to reuse its engines, separate the engines off, have them come down, catch them by parachute, and then re-put them on a new first stage. It's a pretty clunky system concept. They have not really done much work on leading that way. So whether Vulcan's going to be reusable in the next decade or not is still an unknown.
Do I remember correctly that at some point in the last decade, ULA had a new leadership, and they were said to be taking on reducing costs and finding business? Has that
about a decade ago, a little more than that, the previous CEO of ULA was not interested in competing. His idea was put an advertising campaign out to show how bad SpaceX is. They fired him. Replaced him with a guy named Tory Bruno, who's been there for about a decade and has worked very hard to try to get this company to be competitive and active. But he's been fighting, I think, in some ways, a uphill battle.
Bob, it's not competitive. So why are they sustaining it? Without reusability, you can't possibly match those prices.
The military has, I think, a strategic philosophy that they do not want to have one rocket company. Nowadays, they have this philosophy. They didn't used to, but they do now. And so they want other options. And I think that makes sense. I think that, though, the military's attitude towards this is shifting, and they want competitive alternatives, and we're seeing new companies developing new rockets that I think in the next 2 years are going to start to replace these old dinosaurs that haven't, like ULA, that haven't really been properly competitive.
ULA is a combination of two profit-making companies, right? So
yeah, but they haven't been interested really in competition and innovation, those companies, in decades. Boeing, Lockheed Martin, I have better opinion of. They have tried to tap into the small sat market and the launch market in a smart way. But Boeing, forget about it. So ULA has had problems because the culture of the two companies they come out of are not interested in. We're never interested in competition. Their idea was, look, we can get government contracts, cost plus, pay us a lot of money. They don't care about how low the cost is. So why shouldn't we care? And SpaceX has come along and really screwed them.
I think European Space Agency has seen the light, Bob. They're on the road to Tarsus. They're converted. They understand commercial space. Hooray.
They appear to, but we must always remember this is Europe, and they are in love with red tape. They use it for their wardrobe designs. So the European Space Agency has now picked down selected to five rocket startups for future launch contracts. And the five companies are all ones I've mentioned on your show, man, multiple times. ISAR Aerospace and Rocket Factory Augsburg, both from Germany, PLD from Spain, Maya Space from France, and Orbex from Great Britain. And these are all European Space Nation members, nation companies. They're all startups. None have launched yet, though ISAR did try a launch and failed, and Rocket Factory Augsburg was doing static fire tests before a launch, and the rocket blew up, so they lost that. But these companies are now being placed in a position that they can bid for European Space Agency launch contracts, even though they haven't yet launched. The European Space Agency has shifted its model. It's no longer building the rockets and owning the rockets. It's asking private companies to do it. So, yes, they've seen the light. The problem is they're Europe, and so the very nature of this award is kind of cartelish in that it's limiting those who can bid to just these companies. So even though there were 12 submitted to this launch challenge, they call it, only five were picked. So the other seven are out in the wilderness. They're certainly not allowed to bid. When the military had this rule with ULA and wouldn't let SpaceX bid against the contracts, Elon Musk sued and won. And I'm wondering what will happen in Europe. It's going to be interesting and complicated. But they're going in the right direction, John.
And the spaceports that they're going to use, they're not just French Guiana. They're going to use all the private spaceports?
For example, Orbex, one of these five companies, wants to launch out of the Saxaford spaceport on the Shetland Islands. PLD, both PLD and Maya Space are building facilities at French Guiana. Rocket Factory Augsburg wants to launch at Saxaford as well. So, yes, they're willing to look in many places.
The reason I ask, Bob, is because this is Europeans can throw money into this and they can interest a new generation. We understand that the big space generation is passing from the Earth. That would be us, Bob. And the commercial space generation is still being born. So the more they spread this around, the more educated. I mean, you can grow up to want to be a rocket engineer. That was not possible in our lifetime.
So. Yeah, it's true. And I'll point out, John, that this is where they are taking the capitalist model, because they're not forcing these companies to launch at French Guiana. They're giving them the option to do that and the opportunity, but they're leaving them free to make their own choices, and they're not all choosing the same things.
We move on to what could be benign and what certainly looks sinister. This is anti-satellite. What is that, Bob?
Well, I'm not sure this is specifically anti-satellite. Anti-satellite is technology to destroy satellites in orbit. There's a variety of ways to do it. It's been tested by both the U.S., China, and Russia multiple times. What's going on here is that Russia launched a satellite in 22 that has moved around, and they call it an inspector satellite. It's moved around to look at other military satellites, get close and view it, you know, reconnaissance. It now has actually split into two, it appears. It appeared it had a second section that it separate, and they're both maneuvering themselves now to get close to an American military classified satellite. And they're in a position to get within 30 and 50 miles, respectively, over the next week. That's interesting, and they're inspector satellites. They're there to do reconnaissance. We have a classified satellite. They want to get a close look at it, try to figure out what it's doing. Maybe they'll listen in to radio signals. Is that anti-satellite? Well, it's not directly anti-satellite. It's reconnaissance, but it always can be made anti-satellite, because one of the techniques for destroying satellites is you have a killer satellite maneuver close to a satellite, then blow up and destroy them both. And so, yes, this could be anti-satellite, but this is mostly, I think, military reconnaissance going on in orbit.
The Environmental Protection Agency and employees who are no longer working there, what's happened, Bob?
Yeah, this is a silly story. This has to do with the insurrection nature of the left these days. Trump is the president. He was elected by the American people. This is democracy. This is how the government works.
Majority elected.
That's right. He had the most votes of anybody this election. So he is the president, and he, by the Constitution, has the authority to determine the policy. Well, a lot of EPA employees don't like his policies. In his previous term, they did a good job of trying to sabotage what he's trying to do. 170 EPA employees signed a public letter that said they were not going to follow his policies. Let me quote, EPA employees join in solidarity with employees across the federal government in opposing this administration's policy, including those that undermine EPA mission of protecting human health and the environment. They signed this letter publicly. Well, the problem is that they work for Trump. And they have to do what the president, elected by the people, wants to do. His policies rule. They don't make policy. They're the ones that are supposed to institute the policy. Well, in the past, Trump was very nice about this. They weren't public. They tried to sabotage him, and he kind of like didn't fight very hard. Well, this is not the Trump of this administration. Within a week of them signing the letter, they were all put on leave. And they're probably all going to be removed from their jobs because they don't have the right to defy their boss in this situation. They have absolutely every right to oppose him publicly and to speak their mind, but they don't have the right to defy the elected president of the United States, who has the constitutional authority to establish policy. And so they've all been removed, and that I think is a good thing because. If not, and this is not even questioning whether they are right or Trump is wrong. This is just simply they don't have the right to defy the president. And that would apply if Obama was the president. They should be following what the president wants to do. They're not elected. And I say good riddance to them. Let them form their own activist group and try to persuade us of their position.
Welcome to the workforce for the rest of America. There is life beyond the federal government. Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. It's Happy Birthday Behind the Black. Space engineering and space exploration. We're headed to the exploration phase. Your subscriptions and donations are most appreciated.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.